WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
You make me vicious. Watch as I make the pain my mistress. You can call me Miss Malicious. I'll dress you up in stitches. No, I cannot resist this. If it don't hurt, I get suspicious. I like to take the knife and twist it. Yeah, my love is sacrilegious.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you could get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com as well. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
You know what's back?
Football?
Football's back.
Yes, I turn on the NFL Network, and what does it take me to? It takes me to the Dallas-San Francisco game.
I know.
I'm disappointed in you, NFL Network. So disappointed.
I know. But football's back. We're back. We're live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live on twitch.tv/WTLive, streaming live on TuneIn Radio, search Wild Talk Radio Network, as well as rackradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, gerwick.net. You can tweet us at rackradioshow, at wildtalkradio, at lindsworth throughout the night, or come to those chat rooms on those websites just mentioned to interact with us this evening.
You should stay tuned after the show, because after the show there will be Fortnites in some way, shape, or form. I don't know if we're going to have the full squad or if we'll only have a partial squad, but there will be Fortnites later tonight. So if you're here for that, you have to deal with this show, and then we'll get to the other one. So stay tuned for that. Yeah!
Lots of content, lots of stuff. Mini show-ish? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have a lot tonight, which is, I guess, bad for us, but good for us, because that means we get to do Fortnites faster. We just have some quick news. We're going to be talking about the Mae Young Classic, which has been taping last night and tonight. And then, well, all your favorites, Tweedle, SmackDown, Throwdown, NXT, all that fun stuff. So, to the news.
Hold on. I just want to mention, when we talk about the Mae Young Classic and all everything that's going on, spoiler-free. We're not talking spoilers. We're not talking about who won or who lost. We're going to give our opinions on what's to come regarding all the competitors and give some predictions, whether they're right or whether they're wrong.
Anyway, yes.
Just wanted to throw that out there. Anyway, go on. GerwickNet brings you the news.
Brings you the news along with FightBoot.com. And well, like I said, not a huge amount of news, but we do have a large breaking story that came out today. And that is that in light of the trial and the basically the end of one for CM Punk, another is beginning, because Colt Cabana is suing his, I guess at this point, former best friend. for damages due to and basically reneging on his promise to pay Cabana's legal fees post-trial because, you know, Punk said, hey, F off, I'm not going to pay him.
Yeah.
And Colt's so, getting
screwed, kind of.
Screwed, essentially. So he's going for damages and it was like punitive damages. It was something else.
Here, I'll read the story from the Chicago Sun-Times. That's where it broke. After fighting together on the same side, winning the defamation lawsuit 2 months ago, they're now on opposite sides of the league. Cabana's lawsuit contends Punk promised to help him out with the legal bills they amassed fighting the defamation lawsuit. Cabana claims Punk told him in a text that he would be 100% covered. Punk has failed to keep his promise, leaving him with unpaid legal bills totaling $513,736. Punk asked Cabana to pay half of the legal fees, which comes out to $256,868, saying, you are on your own. Colt Cabana is asking for $200,000 in general damages, along with $1 million in punitive and exemplary damages, according to the lawsuit. The lawsuit claims Brooks acted with fraud, malice, and oppression toward Colton, Colt Cabana, with the deliberate intention of causing Colton harm.
It's weird to hear him called Colton.
Yeah, there's a whole lawsuit. I read through some of it. It's really one of those things where you're just dicking over a guy who was your friend. And Colt Cabana was drugged into this lawsuit because Punk appeared on his podcast. And that's the only reason. There's no need for Cabana to go through any of what he did in the last 3 years. None. But he stuck by his friend and did it and went through it all. And now he's stuck with legal bills that he's been paying. He's been paying some of it. Like, but it's Cabana's just an indie wrestler. Like, works for Ring of Honor, etc. But he's not, he did not get the WWE paycheck like CM Punk did. He's not, you know, didn't get the comic book deal, the UFC deal like CM Punk did. It's like, Cabana is just a guy, an average guy who's trying to make a living. And he got drugged into it because Punk wanted to be on the podcast. He said some stuff and they had to go through legal situations for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of not fair what happened to Colt in this whole thing. And the fact that Punk reneged on his word, supposedly, that's not cool, man. I mean, this is a guy who's been your friend for probably, what, at least 15, 20 years, every bit of, and you screw him over like this? Like, that's not cool. I mean, supposedly screw him. I don't want to, like, condemn Punk at all, but, you know, supposedly screw Punk over. I'm sorry if I sounded like that. Or supposedly screw Cabana over. I mean, that's just, like, that's not cool. You don't do that, especially if you know he doesn't necessarily have the money, which I don't know if he does or he doesn't. But $500,000, that's a lot of money in legal fees. A lot of money. And like you said, Cabana has been successful, but he has not been on the level of Punk.
No, he's not a multi-millionaire like CM Punk was, could have been, etc.
Probably is.
Yeah, probably is, but yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, and like you said, Cabana got drug into this simply because he appeared on
the podcast.
Yeah. So he didn't make the comments, but he provided the platform, so Cabana got drug into it. But yeah, I mean, that's not cool to just like screw over your friend. It's like the stand-up thing, even if you guys aren't friends or, you know, buddies anymore, because they did have a falling out. Supposedly there was a little bit of a reconciliation at some point. I'm not sure.
It seemed like it, at least.
It seemed like it, but I guess not. I mean, still the honorable thing to do is just like, hey, you promised to pay the legal fees. You know the dude probably doesn't have the money, so why don't you just pay the money? Unless Punk doesn't have it.
That could be a thing.
Which, if Punk doesn't have it, then Punk should just come out and say, hey, look, dude, I'd love to help, but I don't have it. I don't have the money to pay for it.
But it's just be a man of your word, and that's all it is. So,
or if you can't be a man of your word, just stand up and say that, look, you can't. Like, you can't legally, or you can't financially manage it. But, I mean, yeah, just, even if you're not friends, just take the high road, do the right thing, because it's only going to lead to, as we can all see, more trouble. So, and what's pretty damning is that Cabana has all the texts, all the emails, all the documentation. It's in writing, basically, that Punk said he would do this. And now he's reneging on his word.
So,
supposedly.
We'll see how it goes. Because that's just the way it is. So it's another legal battle.
Yay! More CM Punk court drama. That's what we all want. In happier news, another huge breaking story is that for the first time ever on Monday night, a female commentator is going to break barriers because Renee Young is going to be joining the Raw commentary team for the entirety of the show as a guest commentator. So I'm assuming somebody's going to be out sick, or out doing other things, probably Jonathan Coachman.
Correct.
And so Renee Young will be commentating Monday Night Raw. Like I said, this is the first time any woman has been at the commentator's table as a main commentator for the entirety of the show. So go her.
Yes, Jonathan Coachman has other golf obligations, so he will be missing. Renee Young will be filling in, which is cool. It appears that's the direction they're going. They're probably trying to work her in, getting more familiar with broadcasting a long-formatted show. In other announced news, because we'll talk about it with the Mae Young Classic, but Beth Phoenix, Renee Young, and Michael Cole are the announcers, not Mauro now.
He's out for some reason.
But yeah, so Renee Young is probably going to be one of the commentators for Evolution. It's probably going to be Beth, Renee, and Cole, I would assume, unless Beth is wrestling. But they're going to be involved in that fashion. So just getting her work, it's getting her experience, getting familiar, getting her voice out there more in a commentating role. I'm cool. She said she sucked it before down NXT, and guess what? She might have, but she was a different sounding voice, and that's what matters. If you get a different voice in there, it always changes things up.
I didn't think she was bad in NXT. I thought she was okay in NXT. I think it's something that if you put her with the right people, she'll be fine. Like when she was with Regal, Regal would sit there with her and he would flirt with her. I mean, let's all be real about that. But she was fine. I mean, he helped sort of get her going and that kind of thing. But honestly, if they move her from a backstage commentator to a full-time commentator, I would be okay with that because she did actually work on Main Event for a little bit and then they took her off. Yeah, I mean, if this is an improvement on a role for her and they expand that out and they have her do more, I would be okay with that. I think that would be really cool to finally have a female commentator after all these years and have that different voice behind the desk as opposed to having three guys.
And her quote, what was when she was doing commentary, she would always say, "Oh, oh, oh." And, you know, she knew she was sucking at that point by just saying the word, "Oh."
But it's a complete, yeah, and it's a completely different thing from doing broadcast journalism. It's you're calling a match. So it's like, "Oh, look at that. Oh, my goodness." You know, it's like Cole has stolen the catchphrase, "You got to be kidding me." So it's, and vintage. Let's all not forget Michael Cole's vintage.
No, no, no. He also has, "Oh, my."
Yeah, "Oh, my." He stole George Takei's thing. So, yeah, it's like, I think she'll be okay. I'm excited to hear what she can do because I have no doubt they're going to work with her and they're going to make sure that she sounds her absolute best when she does
commentary. One of the positives is she's working with Corey. And,
yeah.
And they're really good friends. So when you have someone out there who you're comfortable talking to, it'll turn into more of a conversation rather than reading a script.
Yeah. Agreed. So that'll be good. Yeah. So congratulations to her. The girl power also continues in the fact that Total Bellas has been picked up for a fourth season. So yay for that. The drama will continue in, I think, next year.
Probably next year.
Where we follow the adventures of the Bella Twins and Dan O'Brien and the fallout from the breakup with John Cena. So that should be fun. Hopefully much less drama filled than this last go around, but we'll see.
We'll see.
But yeah, by the way, check it out. Total Bellas, Rack Extra Reviews, WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com. Ding! Entire season is up for your listening pleasure. Blame Brents?
I'll do the other quick note, then we'll get to Blame Brents.
Okay. Other quick note is that Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory 2018, the tickets go on sale August 25th. It will be at the Melrose Ballroom in Long Island City, Queens, New York.
And it'll be on October 14th, the Bound for Glory.
Yes.
Now we'll do the injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, Brent, you just had to do it, didn't you? Aleister Black is out with a groin injury. He will be out, I think, until October.
It appears to be out for at least TakeOver, and yes, till October.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That's upsetting.
Yeah, they announced, they showed there's footage. We'll talk more about it later. We'll get into it. All right, who's next?
Up next is Maria Kanellis with a broken wrist.
Hashtag blame Brent.
She's been, what did you say?
as I wait for the sounder.
I clicked it. It wasn't moving. Maria Kanellis has been training down the Performance Center. I've been training a lot to get back in time for Evolution. So she broke it while training. Because she, you know, she wanted to be a part of that show. And she's not going to be in the cast for 6 weeks. She still can train. She still can do things. Hopefully she'll be able to do something at Evolution. Because she really wants to be a part of it. Because she just gave birth to a child a few months back. And now she's trying to get back in shape, get back in the ring. I commend her.
I commend her as well. I think that's really cool. It's sad that she's not going to be wrestling. But if she can be a part of it, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because she's always one of those to me that when she was in WWE her first time, she never really got a good run. And I always loved her.
Oh, I was always a big fan of hers.
And I still am. Let's not kid ourselves about that. No. But
yeah,
it's more, I always felt like she never got what she deserved in the first go-round. And so when she left, I was a little upset. And now that she's back, it's like, I would love to see her get a run with the title. I would love to see them do wonderful things with her because she's such an amazing talent. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, she was so close to coming back. She's worked so hard and then she breaks her wrist. So that's a huge bummer for her.
Yeah, one thing she's definitely improved on, and it was evident in Impact, was she's great at talking now. She was good in Ring of Honor, good in Impact. Like, she's improved as a talker. So she knows how to cut a really good promo now. And, you know, just to have her, hopefully she'll be able to, maybe she'll be able to part of it, maybe a little battle royal, maybe she'll be able to get a part of it.
Yeah. So, and one of the cool things is just to quickly notice, I think she realized that she should have done more when she was training the first time. And so when she left WWE, she really dedicated herself to getting properly trained and learning her craft. And the improvement shows. So go her.
Yeah.
I just had to say that. I just wanted to state that because it's my show. So there. Ha. Huh.
And there's one more we need to get in there before we talk about the Mae Young Classic.
That's right. Breaking news coming out of the Mae Young Classic, no pun intended. Tegan Knox with a broken leg.
Hashtag blame Brent.
No real word yet on how it happened beyond it was more than likely in a match, but
it was in a match. I cannot say against two because that would give away a spoiler. So yeah.
And there is obviously no determination how long she's going to be out because it just literally happened like 20 minutes ago. So, get better soon, Tegan. And before we do the Mae Young Classic, we're going to do a quick NFL break. Because football is back in the United States, y'all. You're going to have to put up with it till January, February, whatever. I'm so sorry in advance. By the way, the Eagles and the Falcons are getting it over early. We're going to be super obnoxious to each other in a couple weeks when that goes down.
Yeah, it's on a Thursday, too.
And I just want to say this. NFL Network, I am still disappointed in you because they're showing me Dallas versus San Francisco. You know who's playing right now? The Packers are playing right now. They are out there. And I have to sit here and watch the freaking Cowboys versus the Giants.
By the way, happy belated 8-8 day to the Cowboys. They celebrated 8-8 day a couple days ago, or yesterday. So belated 8-8 day to the Cowboys.
Ha 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 ha, you're a dick. So starting with the Cowboys and the 49ers, you have Dallas leading the 49ers 7-0 with about 5 minutes left in the first quarter. Green Bay is leading the Titans 14-10 with about a minute or so left in the third. The Bengals are beating the Bears, probably have beaten the Bears at this point, 30-27. The Ravens are destroying the Rams 26-0 in the fourth, with about 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Patriots are in a tight one against Washington where it's 18-17 with about 4 minutes left in the fourth. The Texans are beating up on the Chiefs 17-7 with about 7 minutes left in the third. Colts are beating the Seahawks 3-0 in the first quarter, about 6 minutes left there. The Saints beat the Jaguars and the Panthers beat the Bills. Saints Jaguars 24-20, Panthers 28-23. Atlanta is not playing. Why? Why are they not playing?
They're probably playing tomorrow.
And oh, look who lost.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Oh, and look, they're showing them on my TV right now. The Super Bowl champions, the Eagles, lost 31-14 to Pittsburgh. How did you lose to Pittsburgh?
When you play backups.
The Browns won a game. They beat the Giants 20-10.
Hold on. I'll say this about the Eagles game to give you a break a second. Our defense is going to be really good.
Okay. Do you feel better about yourself now?
No, our first team defense played really well. Like, they blew up the line really in the series and the half they were in. They blew up the line really, really well. They're going to be really good on defense. Anyway, I just had to get that in there. You were taking shots. I had to fire back with some truth.
And last but certainly not least, the Buccaneers beat the Dolphins 26-24. Falcons play on Friday tomorrow, where they're playing the Jets, and then the Lions versus Raiders tomorrow as well. Vikings and Broncos are going on Saturday, and Chargers and Cardinals will finish out the field on Saturday as well. So that is your NFL break, and now the Mae Young Classic, which we have no bumper for.
No, because reasons. Anyway,
we should get a bumper for the Mae Young Classic.
We'll have a Mae Young Classic bumper because we're going to do a segment on it when it happens because it airs. Weekly starting September 6th. So we'll have a bumper for a segment and everything. So it's time to preview the Mae Young Classic, which has been taped the last 2 days down at Full Sail University, and sort of give us a preview, predictions, kind of spoiler-free on the Classic, who we think is going to go far, who we think may not do really well. So you have a list, do you?
Yes, I do have a list.
Okay. By first glance, who do you say would say your top 8 be?
Oh, God, I only did, like, 6.
Okay, give me your top 6. Give me your top 6.
I didn't know how many to pick, so I picked 6. So my top 6 are Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, Toni Storm, my girl, Rachel Evers, Mercedes Martinez, and Jenny. I feel like they're all going to do pretty well.
Okay. For me, I went top 8. This is where I'm scrolling up into our conversation from yesterday, so I have them all. Toni Storm, Kaylin, Io Shirai, Satomura, Jenny, Casey Catanzaro, the girl from American Ninja Warriors, Ashley Rain, aka Madison Rain, and unfortunately Tegan Knox.
Well, you failed there.
Well, we'll see. I don't know if I failed. I don't know if I failed because I said top 8.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Mia Yim go far.
Okay. Prediction. Hold on.
Yeah.
Prediction. First round early exit for Mia Yim. Is what I wrote down. I also have a bold prediction.
Yes.
Someone will upset Mercedes Martinez in the second round.
They better damn well not.
My final 4 are Toni Storm, Shirai, Jenny, and Rain, leading to a finals of Storm and Shirai.
I'd be okay with that.
That's how I see it going. There's like, okay, one thing. Rachel Evers, she got really tan. Rachel Ellering, she's really tan. It's like scary how dark tan she is.
Well, they are in Florida. I mean, you know, maybe she just went and laid out for a little while.
I'm just saying, dude, because I was watching the Parade of Champions and she was really dark and it just caught me off guard. All right. What about you? Out of your 6, who are your final 4?
I'll go with Shirai. I'm sorry if I keep saying her name wrong.
Io. Go with Io.
Io. Io, Toni, Mercedes, and Jenny. I feel like the girls that are signed to the UK brand are probably going to go a little bit further than some of the others just because they're just starting that up. They're going to want to make sure that they have a good showing. So Jenny and Toni especially, because I feel like those are going to be their centerpieces of that brand. They're going to go really far also because they're very talented. I could see Isla Dawn doing all right in this because she's a part of the UK brand, Killer Kelly. So I can see them getting pushed and going further just because of it's a good tie-in. It's the UK girls had nice representation in the Mae Young Classic.
It's split. It's 16-16 of NXT UK and regular NXT talent and outside talent. So it's split. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Whether it leans more heavy to the people already signed or if some people like a Mercedes or an Ashley Rain who aren't signed, how far they actually go.
Now, who we're not talking about in this and how we really should be talking about this is Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah. I mean, she has a chance to do really well in this tournament. She's a solid hand. She's worked really hard to get into it. I don't think it's her time, but this is only the beginning for her because she's now with the company. This is going to be, you know, a welcome back thing. Like, she's been a great hand for them. She's been a great enhancement talent they've used for a long time. But now they're going to actually focus on her. They're going to bring her in NXT and work with her and get her really over. They have a lot of unique talent throughout this tournament. Like, everyone's represented. Tiana Conti is in it. They have a couple of three or four Japanese girls in this one.
Mm-hmm.
They have a wide range of different styles, which is what you want for something like this. You want to see different people. You want to see different styles throughout. And I like that. And I think this tournament's going to be really well done. And I'm looking forward to it. The difference this year, which I kind of like that they're doing it weekly, but I also enjoyed being able to binge watch it as well. I don't know. Because it was fun watching it at random times and just watching it in succession. But one by one, it helps for content on the show, which is always good. I don't know if I would have aired it after NXT, though. I don't know. That, to me, I get why you're doing it, but at the same point, it's like, maybe you could have aired it on a Thursday? I don't know. That's just me.
Well, they don't want to air it up against football because football's coming back.
That's true. Football is on Thursdays now. Yeah.
So it's either you put it on a Friday or you put it on a weekend, which I don't think they want to do, or you put it coming out of one of the TV shows, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, or 205 Live, or NXT. NXT really is the best choice because it's the earliest of all the shows.
Yeah.
Goes on at 8, goes off at 9. You can put the Mae Young Classic on right after it. And you have that 9 to 10 slot there. I mean, me personally, I'd rather binge watch it than watch it live, just because it's like I do other stuff that late at night, Fortnite. So it's nice to sit down, especially on a Saturday or a Sunday, really on a Sunday where there's nothing going on, there's nothing on TV, and you need something to watch, and it's like, hey, I can sit here and I can binge watch the classic.
But you said on a Sunday, football's back.
Well, you know, there are crap games in the early afternoon that I don't really care about that I can watch. You know, the Mae Young Classic during. I mean, it's football. Plus, I have a computer. I have a TV. I can do both.
This is true.
Fair OTT point. Technology, guys. It's an amazing thing. Totally check it out. It's growing awesome. Field.
Anyway. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I think this whole tournament's going to be really fun to watch. I can't wait for it. And yeah, I think that's all I really can say about it.
Yep. So it should be a really good tournament. Oh. I think they've got a different focus for this year. Like last year, it was just, this is the first one and we're going to make it the best we possibly can. And not to say that they aren't going to do that this year, but it's everything. Last year was all about the inaugural Mae Young Classic. This year, this is the second one. So I think they're looking to do more with it and capitalize more on it because they saw the success of the first one. And it's like, okay, here's what we learned from this. We're going to take that and apply it to the second one. And then we're going to make it better.
Oh, you need to give me your finals. Could we did your final four? Who's your final two?
I'll go with Toni Storm and Io.
Okay.
I'll take that. That sounds...
Sounds like a good matchup.
Sounds like a good matchup, so I'll take it.
Oh, Caitlyn's in it as well. So she'll do really well, I think. Be cool to see her back.
It's very cool to see her back. She's kind of another one that she got a run, but she didn't get a run. And I feel like if she decided to come back full-time, it would be very interesting to see how she fits into the product now. Because she was always kind of relegated, to being AJ Lee's best friend. And that's really all they had her be. So I would be curious to see how she stands on her own if she decided to come back.
Hmm.
I mean, from what I've seen pictures of her, she looks phenomenal. Just hopefully she doesn't do that two-tone skunk hair thing again.
Phenomenal.
So we take our first and only break of the evening. What do you think?
Sounds good.
So when we come back, Tweet of the Week, SmackDown, NXT. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back. Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
What is the greatest one-liner in movie history? This Saturday night, CB Radio decides.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Tweak the leg.
The price is wrong, bitch.
First rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
You're gonna need a bigger boat. I'll be back.
It is the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night at midnight-ish Eastern Time only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means... Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. And go check out FightBooth.com since I almost screwed it up. So they're awesome. They're amazing. You should totally check them out. And it's the second-ish segment. Normally it's in the third, but we only have two segments tonight. So, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Seamus. It's a picture of him standing in front of one of the trucks, in front of Cesaro's picture, and it goes, "This guy, happy hashtag friendship day." Cesaro replies with a gif of him running and jumping and hugging Seamus. They're married. They're married, y'all. They're married. It's official. Also, Matt, if you had a question, now would be the time to ask it. Just saying. And just leave it in the chat. Please don't, like, put it anything after it, because we may not see it. So just throwing that out there.
Wait, what?
We had a question. Matt said he had a question for us. For he tweeted it at us.
For Ask the Rack.
For Ask... Well, I thought he was asking it tonight.
No, it was for Ask the Rack. He has a question he's preparing for Ask the Rack.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
She'll keep up one day.
I was tired when I got home. I had to drive home in an electrical storm, all right? Leave me alone. I almost got hit by lightning like 20 times. It was not fun, guys. It was just so not fun. And then the traffic lights got knocked out. Do you guys have any idea what Atlanta traffic is like when there's no traffic lights and rain and thunder and lightning? It is hell. It is absolute hell. Do not recommend. Don't ever do it. Anyway, the great Corey Graves, because he's not just Corey Graves anymore. I could not be more excited or more proud of one of my best friends in the whole world. Congrats, Renee Young. Get ready. Hashtag raw. And Rusev replies, "Put me over, Rainey."
Wrong show.
He tried. Dong Lover Inspinato, so that is a legit name, tweeted, "Ugh, every server hates you for saying this. Lemons ain't free. They don't chop themselves. Don't be so entitled." And Rusev goes, "Does the server pay for the lemons? That's why I leave tip." And this stems from a tweet where he was like, "If I'm in your restaurant and you top off my water, make sure you bring more lemons too. It throws off the balance." Barry Foster replies, "Why would you tweet this instead of just telling the waiter?" Rusev goes, "Because none of you have known the problems I have on a daily basis." Oh, Rusev. Oh, Rusev. His saga with lemons. And finally, Kofi Kingston, "I had the pleasure of visiting EA headquarters today. They have a ball pit in the conference room." He has his shock face, and then it's, "How could I not?" And it links to a picture of him jumping into said ball pit in the conference room. We have to go to the EA headquarters. we have to go.
We do.
There's a ball pit in their conference room. And actually, I think I know where they are.
Okay. Road trip 2019.
Road trip 2019. We're going to the ball pit. Like, it's in the middle of the table, guys. There's a ball pit in the middle of the table. It's a video of it.
There you go.
Also, props to Xavier Woods for wearing the Falcon shirt. Well done, dude. Well done.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
First one is audio. Here you go. From an NXT house show.
I'm on board with this. Tyler Breeze, baby. I'm on board.
Renee Young, "My driver asked what XM station I wanted, and I panicked and said 90s on 9, and they're playing Sandstorm. I've never felt more wrongly judged in my life. In a very non-Canadian way, I asked him to change it, and he said, 'Thank you. We're on the Beatles station.'" Very classic. Ronda Rousey was quoted in an article saying, "According to Vince, when I smile, the whole world wants to hug me." Paul Heyman replies, "That's funny, because Vince has told me that when I am the one who smiles, the whole world wants to punch me in the face. Especially him."
Paul.
In what we're going to talk about in a little bit, Aleister Black was found unconscious in the parking lot after NXT went off there last night. Hideo Itami, parking lot is unsafe.
You know, yeah, I agree with that. That parking lot is very unsafe. How many people have been attacked in that parking lot? Like, they should really do something about that. If the security guys would stop chasing Bo Dallas,
then everything would be good.
Everything would be good.
Demetrius Johnson, "First year doing Fantasy Football League. Is Dan Marino a good choice? UFC, yes."
Oh, God. No.
And what will lead into the SmackDown Throwdown? We have the duo that is not iconic, but should be.
Oh, hey, Billy. Oh, hi, Peyton. We were just talking and we were just trying to figure out.
Did she beat her? No. Did she beat her?
No.
No. No. She beat her? No. Yes. I think we're trying to figure out who the two of you have ever beaten.
Certainly not us.
Not Becky Lynch.
Not Charlotte Flair.
Not me. Isn't that
iconic?
Whoa. Speaking of married couples, there you go.
SmackDown Throwdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, yeah, SmackDown was a mixed bag, but still a good show. We just mentioned Charlotte Flair, we mentioned Becky Lynch, and the Iconics. They did battle on this night, which saw Charlotte and Becky pick up the win. There was some stuff beforehand between Becky and Charlotte. They're like, we're good, we're on the same page, and we're both competitive, and Becky is sort of like, we're good, but, I wanted her all to myself, but, it's the opportunity is what it is, and Charlotte had to take the opportunity, and she gets it, and now she said she wanted Carmella to herself, but now there's a tall blonde boulder in her path, but she doesn't hold it against her, and Charlotte's like, are we okay for a tag match? And Becky's like, yeah, we're good. We're not Bailey and Sasha.
Oh! here's the thing. Charlotte's like, oh, well, but I had to take the opportunity. No, you didn't. No, you really didn't. You could have done your friend a solid and just like waited that one out, and you would have gotten another opportunity depending on who won that fight. So you could have just, hung back, let your friend have the spotlight. But no. She's Charlotte. She has to jump in. She's got to take her shot. So now it complicates matters at SummerSlam, but it also uncomplicates because, well, Becky doesn't necessarily have to beat Carmella. She can beat Charlotte.
Which she did a few weeks ago before Money in the Bank. So she has the ability to do so. They were backstage after beating the Iconics. And then Charlotte's like, I love tagging with you. But Becky's like, 2 weeks, it's different. They'll just have to be great against each other. And then they had a little bit of a stare down.
That's going to make going back to the hotel together really awkward because married. Married.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes for an awkward car ride.
I like the slow build, whatever they're doing, whether they stay friends, whether we see a Becky heel turn, whether we see a Charlotte heel turn. I'm all in for it.
I feel like they kind of sort of need to take Charlotte back heel because she's such a good heel. She's sort of, I think, a little aimless as a babyface. Like, she's fine, she's entertaining, but she's just a little bit stronger of a bad guy. And especially in a fan favorite of Becky Lynch, I just don't know if a heel Becky Lynch would work. Because we've seen Becky's a heel. It's like,
it could work.
It could work, but it's like she's so adorable that I think everybody just loves her. And it's just like, no, we won't have that. We just will not accept Becky Lynch is a bad guy, unless it's like life changing, like it was for Alexa Bliss. So, I'd rather see Charlotte go bad guy. But honestly, it's like I don't necessarily want either of them to turn. It's like I'd rather see that if they're going to fight each other, that it's of mutual respect and it's look, I've got something to prove against you.
I'm just curious to see where it goes. I'm interested. They have me hooked. I want to see where they take it.
It's always interesting when these two fight because there is that mutual respect between the two. So it's like, where could this go?
Shinsuke Nakamura beat R-Truth. No shock there. The Bludgeon Brothers beat three guys named 3SK. Doesn't have the same ring as JSK, but anyway, they beat on three people.
In spectacular fashion.
They did, because they had to learn who their challengers were. Headed into SummerSlam, which we'll get into in just a minute. Zelina Vega beat Lana. This time Rusev was at ringside, but again, Aiden English came down, cost Lana the victory. There's more tension between Rusev and Aiden English. I still think we're headed to some sort of mixed tag coming. I kind of feel like it's going to be a thing. I don't know. We'll see.
I'd like to see it be a thing. I think that could be fun.
Randy Orton caught another solid heel promo talking about getting rid of the heroes and everything like that. And I thought he cut a really good promo. Really don't want to go through it. It's just really good. He's really solid. He's back in the role he wants. And the one thing I like, and AJ Styles cut a good promo about family and stuff and how and family and friendship and how Joe threw it all away for the title shot, which was really good. But I like what they did on SmackDown. They allowed Randy Orton cut his promo on Jeff Hardy. They allowed AJ Styles to cut his promo on Samoa Joe. You didn't have not anyone interrupt. They cut it. Simple to the point. They made it. It didn't go long. It was each guy got 5 minutes to say, go out there, say their piece, and done. I like that. You don't need the verbal back and forth all the time if a guy makes a solid point. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that. It's sometimes the single promo is stronger than a back and forth. And yeah, Randy is back in the role that Randy wants to be in. He's a bad guy. He's been wanting to go there for a while. And honestly, Randy Orton makes a better bad guy. We've all known this for years. He's that type of guy. And so you can always tell when he's enjoying it. But yeah, he makes a better bad guy. He's enjoying his role. And again, it's almost like it's like Creepy Wyatt Bray or Creepy Wyatt Randy stayed on, you know?
In a way.
Like there's a lasting effect from Bray Wyatt on him.
In a way.
In a way, but he's not the cocky heel Randy. He's more sinister.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. And then, yeah, in terms of AJ, the single promo was very strong, straight to the point. It's basically, Joe, you betrayed yourself, you screwed yourself, and you're not going to get what you want. And that was really, really effective.
AJ's final message was, you're not walking out the WWE Championship. In fact, you may not be walking out at all.
I can't wait to see this. It's been years since I've seen AJ versus Joe.
Yeah. Miz was once again on the set of Miz and Mrs., and he took more shots at the low ratings to tell Bells and Hell. Miz and Mrs. is having great ratings. Check out the Rock Extra Reviews. Miz and Mrs. now available at rockradioshow.com. And he agreed to the match with Daniel Bryan. And he talked about how, you know, going back through their career and everything like that. And then Daniel Bryan showed up, attacked the Miz, attacked the bodyguards. The bodyguards got a hold of Bryan. Miz hit him with a vase to the back of the head. Knocked him down. Bryan slowly got up. I like that the aggressive Daniel Bryan. It's like, he's able to get to Miz, but he's not getting to fully to Miz.
Like, he can get. But I liked that they finally were able to physically touch.
Like, they've touched a couple times, but it's short spurts. Nothing real, like, got a real far advantage. Miz always ends up getting the full advantage.
And that's nice, and it's something that they're doing this really, really well to building to this match. Because, again, everybody knows that we want to see this in WWE. Like, the audience wants it. They know we want it. So they're being really, really careful about how they do it. And they're not letting them fight each other in a match until SummerSlam. They're purposefully keeping them apart to do the match at SummerSlam, which is really, really nice, because normally as you get 50 tag matches in every variety with someone to, you know, basically tease it but not tease it. So this, they're creatively keeping them apart by having Miz doing his tour for the show, and then you have Bryan getting to him with one way or another, either with footage or physically or whatever. So I really love how they're doing this feud. And I can't wait for SummerSlam for these two. This is probably one of the hottest things they have going right now. And it's not even for a title, which I love. It's just two people who generally want to fight each other.
Yep.
Which is great.
It's good. And then, as mentioned, we were determining who will fight the Bludgeon Brothers at SummerSlam. New Day or The Bar. They had a long match. And then New Day pulled out the victory.
Which will be fun.
Yeah, I was pulling for The Bar. I thought The Bar was going to get it, so we get a first matchup at SummerSlam, but I'm okay with the New Day. If they actually let both teams actually have a full match rather than just a squash like before, it should be really fun.
I agree.
So,
wholeheartedly agree.
SmackDown was good. I'm enjoying SmackDown over Raw right now, because it's old school feeling. It's simple, it's basic, but each feud is very simple to understand. It's not overly complicated, and it's about something real, not something stupid. Like you see on Raw sometimes.
SmackDown has a lot more subtlety to it than Raw does. They're doing stuff that is simple, but it's deep. Like, you know, the stuff between Becky and Charlotte, they're teasing that really nicely, where it's like they're friends. You don't know if one's going to turn on the other or what's going to happen between them, but you want to find out. Bryan and Miz, it's years in the making to have this match go down. You've built this feud over the years, especially the 3 years that Daniel Bryan was out hurt. You've really done that properly. Styles and Joe, I should say. Again, that's being done really, really well. It doesn't have the same feeling as Raw, because I feel like SmackDown doesn't have the glass ceiling that Raw does, which is Raw is stuck with Brock Lesnar and the Universal title is unattainable on Raw right now. So it's like everything is kind of at a halt in terms of the Universal title. So now it's okay, well, you can only have one person go after the IC title. You can only have a couple people go after the tag titles at any given time, so it doesn't become super convoluted. And then it's like, well, what the hell do you do with everybody else? And that's where they are always really challenged, is it's like if there isn't a title in the picture, they generally have a hard time coming up with a feud for somebody. So it's just there's a lot of just aimless things going on Raw right now versus SmackDown, where I think everybody generally has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between the two shows. So, but yeah, SmackDown was very enjoyable.
NXT?
NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
On this show, we saw Nikki Cross defeat Amber Nova.
She's so cute! Nikki Cross, not Amber. Although, Amber was pretty cute, but Nikki. My heart is on Nikki.
Solid matchup. But they're laying the groundwork for Nikki Cross to do something. I don't know what. I feel like she's in a holding pattern. I think she's ready to be moved to the main roster, but there's no spot for her on the main roster. So they're keeping her as a focus, keeping her going down in NXT, if that makes sense.
They've got her in a holding pattern right now. I feel like she could go for Shayna again, but they're waiting to have her go for Shayna again. But they could also be they're waiting to move her up onto the main roster. They're just, I think, trying to resolve a couple things first. And then once they have a spot ready for her, they'll bring her up. Because they've been having her tour with SmackDown, so that's a very clear indication that she's getting ready to go up, is they generally have them go out on the road with somebody before they bring them up fully from NXT. And Sanity is on SmackDown. We haven't seen a lot happen with Sanity, so I'm kind of wondering if they're going to bring her up with them and introduce her back into the group, and then they're going to push the group. Because there was a lot of backlash when Sanity came up, and Nikki Cross was not a part of it. And she really does actually add something super special to that group that a lot of other factions haven't had, just because of the character and how it's presented. And it's not the same without her. It doesn't feel the same without her because she's not there. So I have to wonder if they aren't going to do, like, kind of put Sanity's stuff on hold until they can bring her up, and then you introduce her in a match, in a wild card, or you have her show up, or you have Young go get her or something, to sort of bring life back to that group, because Sanity's kind of fallen by the wayside quite a bit since they came up. Like, they were super hot, and then we've hardly seen hide nor hair of them since.
At least they're not in the wasteland with the Ascension.
This is true. This is very true, but they're on their way there.
They're on their way there. Ricochet was scheduled to compete against somebody, but he was attacked by Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era. Cole talked about how he's the one and only North American champion, and it will be undisputed that he will retain his title at TakeOver. Short to the point, keeping Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era one step ahead of Ricochet. I enjoyed it. It's a little thing.
I've always loved when people get attacked in their entrances. I don't know why, but it's like, you would think more people would do it simply because it's like nobody's really expecting it, right? Like, you come out, you're doing your entrance, you're doing your thing. You don't want to expect somebody to come up and smack you from behind. So it's like, that's the perfect time to do it. And I'm really surprised more people don't get attacked during their entrances, but it's whatever. But I really like this. Cole's promo was great. You know, he has taken high offense to Ricochet's words, so we'll have to see where this goes between the two. But yeah, Undisputed Era looks super strong.
It was simple and to the point as mentioned. Cassius Ohno was in action against one of the Performance Center rookies. His name is Adrian Jaoud. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. That's how it's written. So maybe Lindsay can.
Adrian Jaoud?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cassius Ohno just beat on him for a while.
Was he the one without shoes?
I think.
There was one without shoes.
No, that might have been Marcel Barthel or whatever.
No, that wasn't Marcel. That was Marcel was German Finn Balor.
Oh yeah, he was German Finn Balor. So it was this guy.
Yeah, this man needed shoes. This man needs shoes. We all remember what happened to Rusev when Rusev used to not wear shoes. Can we please get this man some shoes?
Yeah, he needs some shoes. We're currently in the NXT rundown. For those just tuning in, this is The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive, etc., etc. Speaking of, Keith Lee defeated Marcel Barthel. This was a more competitive match than I thought we were going to see for the debut of Keith Lee.
Well, I think they wanted to showcase him a little bit.
Yes. Okay, indie wrestling fans are going to hate me for this comment. I wasn't blown away by this, by his performance. I don't know. There's something about it that just, I need to see more. And I know he's had great matches on the indies, and that's fine. I just wasn't blown away by it. I was expecting more of a showcase rather than back and forth. I don't know. He moved well for a big guy. I don't know. I just expected more from basically all the hype.
Yeah, I mean, he did all right to me. It wasn't anything to really write home about. It was a good match. It was a nice introduction for him. He looked okay. But yeah, I just need to see more of him because, I'm not that familiar with him. And that's on me. I just don't have time to follow indie wrestling as closely as I would like to in some cases. But I would like to see more just because I am intrigued by him. He looks like he's going to be super good. But I just, one match, I can't really tell a whole lot. But I felt like he did fine. I mean, he looked good.
Devil Sand says, wait till you see this man jump over the top rope. Okay. I need to see more.
Yeah, it's something when they bring people in like this that it's like, me personally, I don't have a lot of time to follow.
Evolve. We don't watch Evolve. We don't see all that stuff. It's just stuff. There's too much to watch. So it's like, that's not on our radar. So it's like, we'll see.
Yeah, it's like I work a full-time job. I do a lot of other different things. I just don't necessarily have the time to watch all the stuff that I do for WWE, plus Evolve, plus ROH, plus New Japan. Plus every other indie out there, and the people that do it, you're amazing because I don't know how you do it, but yeah, I can't follow wrestling as close as I want to or as close as I used to. So it's kind of like I've had to reduce it down to pretty much WWE because it's also availability for me too. That's pretty, you would think living in Atlanta, I would have access to more, but it's like, I really kind of don't. Especially for Evolve. So, but I'm very curious to see what else he can do.
Yeah. There was a little promo with the Street Profits. They're making fun of the TM61. Vanessa Bourne.
What? No, I have a question about that. Why was it in front of an ATM?
I don't know.
I was just like, why did you, why? What if somebody needs to use the ATM? That'd be like super awkward. You guys are just chilling there and shooting a video and somebody walks up and they're like, oh, hey, I need to use the thing. Just, I don't know. Things I notice when I watch wrestling.
Tanara Conte defeated Vanessa Bourne to earn her spot in the Mae Young Classic.
They're finally doing something with her.
Yeah.
Although I was a little disappointed Vanessa got knocked out, because I love Vanessa so much. But yeah, this was fine. This was good.
Then it was Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano. The match went a few minutes until Tommaso decided to interfere, causing a no contest.
God damn it, Tommaso. This is why we can't have nice things.
And yeah, the crowd was chanting for a triple threat match. Black was pummeling on Gargano. Referees were breaking things up. William Regal came out. He said that he's going to let this thing happen at TakeOver. It will now be a triple threat match.
But wait, it's not, because later that night, after NXT aired, Aleister Black was found beaten up and unconscious in the parking lot of Full Sail University. That is a highly dangerous parking lot. And, well, word coming out of Florida is that Aleister Black is out of the match, and it's going to be Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano, I believe, in a last man standing match.
I don't know what the stipulation is.
Okay, so no stipulation as of yet. If they're really smart, they do this in a cage. Personally, I vote Hell in a Cell.
It's too, we've been saying that for a while. But I think it's too soon to do the Hell in a Cell because on the TV buildup and everything like that. You can't.
But it's some point.
Some point you have to go there. It's just
you have to go there with these two. Yeah. You just do. It's the perfect pairing.
Oh, it is last man standing. Okay, it is last man standing. Okay. I did not catch that news. All right, cool. So it is last man standing TakeOver.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought I had heard that they were doing that, but I wasn't sure. So Didn't they already do Last Man Standing, though?
No, no. They were going to do... The original idea for Gargano and Ciampa a couple months ago was Last Man Standing, but they gave that match to Shinsuke and AJ.
That's right. That's right. And they did the street fight instead.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, yeah. Well, hopefully this Last Man Standing match is a lot better than the other one, because... Yeah.
Hopefully they don't start counting right away.
Yeah. WWE referees, please, if you're within the sound of my voice, which you're totally not, but if you could not start counting the second somebody just, you know, falls down, if you could give it a second or five, that would be great. Because that's my one complaint about Last Man Standing matches, is they start counting like the second somebody falls down, which I get, that's their job. But it's like when it's, you know, somebody takes the first bump. One! No. Dude, no. Give it a minute. Just give it a minute. See if they get back up right away. That's all I'm saying.
And then we also had on the show EC3 experiencing everything that Velveteen Dream has to offer.
They filmed their first date, y'all. I'm so excited.
It was, it wasn't a first date, but it was the first date. Them flirting with each other by a pool. It was a first date, quote unquote. You had them talking, taking pot shots at one another. They traded barbs with one another. And then it ended up with Dream getting TK3'd into the pool.
Okay, does anybody, and this is going to tell you exactly how old I am, does anybody remember Blind Date?
Yes.
Okay, this is Blind Date, but with wrestling. I mean, they did end up at a pool. They didn't do the awkward dinner first, but they did end up at the pool.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Blind Date, part of me then goes back to Singled Out. I don't know why, but yes.
It's not so much Singled Out.
The pool at the spring break. Part.
Yeah, the pool at spring break part, I can see that, but I see this more as blind date.
Yeah, blind date, yeah.
Although, it's like, it would have been better if they wound up at that cave hot tub place, which I still kind of want to find, but kind of don't want to find, because it looks super skeezy. But, like, you just kind of want to find it just so you could experience it, because you see it, and you're like, that kind of looks cool, but kind of looks gross, because you don't know what, I mean, you know what's going on in there, but you don't know what's going on in there, so... And how often they clean it. So, yeah.
By the way, that whole vignette thing had JB's fingerprints all over it.
Yeah, it did. Totally did. I'm okay with that, though. If they've got JB and EC3 working together, I'm not going to complain about that, because that's a good partnership right there.
That has had his film style written all over it. It just did.
But he brings a different style to it, which is good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, JB was always into the super, super outside stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always liked that, of seeing basically wrestlers interact with the real world. That's high up on my like list, to take, you know, to take these big muscular people and put them into real life situations of, oh, hey, they're at dinner, or hey, you know, they're going to an office or whatever, you know, where it's like they're interacting with the real world and seeing how that all fits in that essentially universe, mm-hmm. of how that all works. Because, you know, I've like pushed hard for this, where they turn the Suplex City concept into a whole TV show, but that's just me. But yeah, I love when they do stuff like this, because it's different. It takes you outside the arena and like the little goldfish bowl that is the arena. Because so often we get trapped in that, where it's like you're just in this one building and you're in this one place and you don't think about it. But then when you go outside and you go somewhere, it's like when they did Final Deletion for the first time. And you got to go to Matt Hardy's house. That was revolutionary, because nobody had really ever done that before. And that's why I think a lot of people latched onto it, was it was like, it was a first thing. It was really an interesting idea. It was intrigued a lot of people. It was an absolute train wreck, but it was an entertaining train wreck. But it's like, you know, again, you take wrestlers out to restaurants, you take them out to different events, you have them interacting supposedly with real world people. It's like the whole Dr. Shelby stuff. The idea of Kane and Daniel Bryan going to therapy and going to a support group, and they're in this room with regular people. It's just, it's something a little different. And I love that. And I don't know why I went off on a tangent, but I did. So I'll stop now.
This show was a little underwhelming compared to the last few weeks of NXT TV, but it was still a solid show. But I felt a little underwhelmed, because everything was really, last week's show was really, really good. This week was just a subpar compared to.
I feel like they're doing a little bit of a come down before they do the go home for SummerSlam, or for, I should say, for TakeOver,
which is next week.
which is next week, because I feel like they're going to have a really strong showing for next week. Also, I think Aleister Black's injury may have impacted things.
No, because they told the story as is. It didn't do anything on the show.
I know, but I'm talking about later things.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Anyway. So, they may have to... We'll just have to see what they do next week.
I guess I should start plugging.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was waiting to see if you had anything else, but if you don't, well, that does it for us, so duck away.
Saturday Night Midnight Edition at CB Radio. It's 1 year in the making. The greater the great debate. One-liners.
Oh God, you're finally doing it?
It's 1 year in the making.
1 year for one-liners?
Yes. The official one-year date is like today. So we'll check it out this Saturday night, midnight, and see you live on Facebook, Twitter.com, greaterthangreatdebate.com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio returns to preview SummerSlam, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11-10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rock Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Season 1, Episode 3, now available. Episode 4, available on Tuesday. Check out the Tweetcast about New Japan's G1 Classic at Lone Jobber, twitter.com/Lone Jobber. He's been breaking them down in Tweetcast form. There's a long form Eastern Wrestling Analysis podcast, which is up. I think he's planning on one more for the finals for the full breakdown. We'll see how that goes, or a wrap up. I don't know. All coming. Twitter.com/Lone Jobber. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, which will feature the NXT TakeOver preview and our SummerSlam preview all next week. It is Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Stitcher, iTunes, Tumblr, Google Play, The Rack Radio Show. Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Twitch.tv/WTRLive. A lot of content there. Our podcast, our Fortnite, all that fun stuff. More stuff coming. And so much more. Your turn.
And stay tuned after this program, because in a few minutes we will be back on Twitch, where you can watch us play Fortnite, where lots of profanity and terrible jokes and everything else will be told. So if you want to do the thing, join us over at the Twitch channel, which is
twitch.tv/WTRLive.
There you go. But, you know, in the meantime, if you want to check out our very fine sponsors, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Oh, hold on. Congrats in advance to Matt Goldberg, who gets married this weekend.
Go, Matt! Do the thing! We're super proud of you! Mazel! And congratulations to his beautiful fiance as well, who I know is beyond excited. They're both so excited. It's adorable. It's so cute. I love it. Kind of wish I was going, but, you know, I get it. Not invited. He's in Chicago. Completely understand. But, yeah. Go, Matt. Congratulations to you both. I hope you have a wonderful, happy life together. Which I know they will. Because they're so cute. But anyway, yes. MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, and fightbeat.com. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we will be back in a few minutes with Fortnite. Till then. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.